The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Saoirse Hannay is with me, columnist of the Irish Independent, and Elaine Burke, presenter of the For Tech's Sake podcast, picking winners and sinners from the week gone by. How are you on this beautiful, balmy spring day? Chocolate. Actually brightened up a bit.
Yeah, I didn't feel like that half an hour ago.
No.
Back on my holidays.
Every time I walk outside, it rains. So I'm sorry.
Is that just a feature of your life in general?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
Travis from the song.
Oh, God. All right. Okay. Listen, we'll lift people's spirits then. Saoirse, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is Pitbull. And I don't even mean the singer. I don't even mean the breed of dogs. I mean the people that were all Pitbull on Wednesday evening in our nation's lovely capital. Myself included, I was indeed dressed up.
So you went to this Pitbull lookalike?
I did. Well, I didn't go to the competition, but I was dressed up.
Okay.
Which might actually kind of feels like it'd be more purposeful if I did, but I just did it for my own gain. Yes, myself and three friends went to the Pitbull concert on Wednesday, and we all went in suits and ball caps, which you can't see this on air, but I have a welt on my forehead from the ball cap, which I really think is commitment.
Yes,
commitment to the bit.
One of those is actually Pitbull, and one of those is Saoirse.
Yeah, I found him at the four quarts loop stop.
You cannot tell the difference.
I could see Pitbull taking a
Pitbull is the one with the plastic alcohol cup.
That's water.
Oh, sure.
It's not. No, it's not. Needed if you're going to dress up in a bald cap to go outside. It was so much fun. I think what sealed the deal was I kind of halfway through getting ready, I was like, I need a beard. I don't have a beard. It's just ridiculous. So penciled on little goatees and little mustaches, which suited some of us like outrageously much, and went off. It was so much fun. I want to be dressed like a man all the time. The attitude it gave me, the swagger it gave me walking onto that Lewis. I loved it.
Did you man spread?
Absolutely. I sat across two Lewis seats.
Oh, stop the lights.
It's so comfy. Did you fill your pockets with things?
Yeah. One of the girls behind me, I was like, Aoife, you've no bag. And she was like, please. Pockets. I'm a man tonight. So we had
Top
the best
class.
Time. Kept Great. Meeting people like on the street that would like sing lyrics at us or ask for pictures. I felt so famous. It was the best.
You didn't feel threatened because you're a man
not even a bit. I was so
exactly,
safe.
Yeah.
I was like,
you were the alpha predator everywhere you went.
Everywhere I went. On the way out, I was like, I'm going to catcall her. I'm going to give it some petty
How
crime.
Did they react?
Yeah, you know, slap across the face.
You slow clapped a woman's parallel parking. You did all of those things.
I said, well, actually, a bunch of times. And I would do it again. It was great. Apart from, as I say, this welt that has appeared on my forehead from the ball cap being too tight, I think, which is also kind of alarming, but that's fine. One of the girls was like, God, there's so much room for my hair in this ball cap. And I was like, I can barely breathe in this thing. But yeah, we'll do it again. Thank you, Pitbull, for the great
night. And so the enjoy, like Pitbull as a musical act, is there an irony in going, or is it a genuine like, no, I think this guy's great?
Well, like, if you think about it, right, Pitbull plays at on a dance floor in every nightclub at every single night out, there's a Pitbull song coming on. So imagine all of those at once, and it threw me in a not exactly the spot to be dancing. Not that it stopped us, we were literally in the nosebleeds, like one row from the back, but there was an irony to the fact that there were so many dressed up that we were like, this is gas, we're having such gas crack. But it was also just really fun. Like, he was actually really good. He had a couple of outfit changes which were just suit jacket changes, which I did think were slightly redundant, but other than that, it
no. See, you're thinking like a woman.
No,
again.
No, you're so
see
right.
That's what she's doing.
He had loads of dynamic
outfit you gotta changes. All you gotta do is change one item of clothing as a
different
man
look. I feel like I'm missing something. Is this a thing that people go to Pitbull's concerts dressed as Pitbull? Is this like Gentle Minions?
Basically, right. I think it became that.
What's
think
Gentle
it was like,
Minions?
That was when young people were going to see the Minions films and they dressed in suits.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of that. Fun. I think people have started like used to dress like him for like Halloween and stuff or whatever. And then when he did this tour last year in the States, people did it and it was all over TikTok and stuff. That when he announced the tour
but is Pitbull distinctive enough looking to be a Halloween costume? Do people not just think you're just a bald man?
Bald man. And there was a period before the bald cap went on when I just had my hair in a bun and the beard and I looked like Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton. It was ridiculous.
Okay.
But maybe, I don't know what it is, but there was just like, I think as well, people when I said I was going, a lot of people were like, but surely he only features on songs. Like, what's he going to be singing? And there was a lot, I didn't feel like I was just waiting for his part of the song. I really felt like he took it all on. He had all these dancers dancing around him, and obviously all of his suit jacket changes. He had Little John supporting him.
Was there, when you were up in the nosebleeds, then you're looking down on everyone. What was like a sea of eggs?
Sea of eggs, genuinely. It was so much fun. I was like, I could barely see him on the stage, but I could see so many other people.
Glare,
it didn't matter.
The glare off everybody's bald head.
And what's worse is I obviously wear glasses. Obviously, no one can see this, but I wear glasses. And a big part of the Pitbull outfit is the aviator sunglasses. Yeah. So they had to stay on, but they had to stay on over my glasses.
That's a cool look.
Yeah, no, wow, it was really good. I walked to the St. Louis with just the spirit of my friends guiding me, with the aviators on and no actual glasses. But when I got in, I was like, we're so far back, I have to be able to see him. I put both on, and it really completed the look for me, I think.
All right, yeah. Comfort over style.
I don't get gigs that were sea of eggs as well, but that's because I got gigs that old men like.
Strangely,
where did all these Pitbull lookalikes? Oh no, sorry, yeah. Who's your winner of the week then, Elaine?
Very different. Irish science has won this week. Yeah. This is very, very nerdy. Oh, this is kind of all of Irish science wins out of this equation, because our application to be accepted as a member of CERN has progressed, and it looks likely that we will become a member by next year. All things
going
well.
So for people at home, what is CERN?
So people may be more familiar with the idea of the Large Hadron Collider that CERN runs.
And that's what I was thinking.
That's the particle accelerator just outside Geneva. That's where they discovered the Higgs boson, also referred to as the God particle. And that was a huge development when they did it. But people may not also know that CERN is why we have the internet. Tim Berners-Lee was working at CERN and was trying to find a way to effectively share information among
his
this
fault.
Science network.
It's his bloody fault. I was wondering who to blame.
When it was a very
we're going to take it down from the
endeavor,
inside.
Yeah. So that came out of CERN. Lots of medical technologies and treatments even have come out of work that's come out of CERN. So it does a lot of great science, a lot of also fundamental science, like literally just trying to figure out like how do these tiny particles work and what do they mean? Things that like may not be useful in the immediacy of discovering them, but just knowing about them, it can, you know, improves our fundamental understanding of the world. And what membership of CERN means is that Irish scientists and researchers get to be part of these kind of research programs and use the data out of CERN. And CERN is also really amazing as like a science project that is global and got a kind of like a science community vibe to it, because it's nearly like geopolitics proof, because they have so many data centers. Like I think it's like 170 in 40 countries. That's a count from like 2021. They might have more now. And none of the data kind of exists in a silo. So like no country can kind of own all the data.
So I thought it was a European endeavor. It's not. It's a global based in Europe.
Yeah, it's a real community science effort. So it's kind of like a really good example of when science is cooperative and global and really well done. We'll get access to that kind of data, get opportunities for businesses to actually go for procurement contracts with CERN, like just what it means for science, scientific business out of Ireland, just everything to do with science. It's just cool. I love it.
Why are we only joining it now?
Yeah. So that's the thing. We've had to apply for membership. So it's a long ongoing process. Like I probably first wrote about this a good few years ago when it was being proposed as something that we should go for. And I suppose it kind of means it's a step up for our Irish scientific ecosystem as well, that we're seen as like big enough players to be part of CERN as well. And the way it's happening now, so it's been accepted in principle. So we do have to commit certain things. And this is things that people may not like to hear about, but like it will cost like 1.9 million euro a year to be a member of CERN for 5 years. And that needs DAL approval for that funding. And then also like Research Ireland, which is the body that funds research in Ireland, they will have to fund researchers and research to go, you know, work out of CERN and do this work. So more effort is needed to kind of push the science in that direction. But like, I think that's an investment well made.
Yeah, it's progress. It in half a week in the M50 and tolls.
I think that does sound like, you know, a small price to pay for, like I said, like the things that have come out of CERN, like it might sound like it's really abstract, but like genuinely things that are being used in medical technology and diagnostics and stuff like that have even come out of this research, computing technologies.
So Pitbull lookalikes and our application being approved, it looks like, to join CERN, the winners of the week. So, Saoirse, who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner of the week is a contestant on Love is Blind, the most recent season. So I presume you're familiar with the premise.
Which is Love is Blind?
That's the one where people American people, are tasked with finding out if love is blind, whether or not you can fall in love with someone without ever seeing them. So two people go into these pods that are completely obscured from one another, okay, and they get to know each other. And then they decide by the end of the knowing each other period, they date a few people, whether they want to propose and then meet with after they get engaged. And then they have this wedding.
Sorry, I don't know anything, so I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, please.
So how long does this go on for?
It goes on, it's like, there's a new season on Netflix now, and they are in the pods, as they're called, for like six episodes, which is crazy, but that's a few weeks.
Okay, so over several weeks.
Yeah, over 2 weeks maybe.
Let's say you and I are in this, so we just have a place where we rendezvous where these pods are.
Yeah.
And once a week or a couple of times a week, and we only interact through these opaque pods.
Yeah.
And then we just go off and live our lives.
Well, then we go off because we're staying in the pods. So there's the girls' dorm,
the
boys' dorm. Yeah. Not like, so I'll come, like, you'll write down on the list, like, today I want to see Elaine, today I want to see Kieran. And you go like to each person's pod, and then you'll like date them in quotation marks. And then by the end, and a lot of the tension is always like, oh, this person is between two people. Will you choose?
You could be interacting, I could be interacting with someone else through a different pod.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll decide by the end who you want to commit to. But then the fun happens after they all meet, because after they've all gone off for have their weddings, they go off on this big group honeymoon. It's a big thing, and then they decide if like that you might come across the person you almost chose, and they're like way hotter than the guy you did choose. And the
whole idea, might someone be chosen by a couple of people?
Yeah, like, and they have to decide
like
who they want to marry to, basically, and they have to decide which one they're gonna, I say, marry in quotation, because not legally binding. And they'll do that. So it's been long running for a while. There's a very varying amount of success. There's been like a couple of weddings, a couple of kids coming out of it.
It's amazing. Sorry, this is a tangential point. Isn't it amazing how in all of these shows, any reality show, like from Big Brother onwards, like everything is sped up,
and
you're living in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
Well, you just don't have an outlet.
It's when
people
fall
in and out of love so quickly, and relationships break down, even kind of platonic ones, and they get mended, all in the space of like a couple of days.
I just think it's so intense
environment.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's that concentration and the isolation.
Yeah, it's not like texting your friends. It's not like coming back.
You can't long finger it and say, "Ah, I just have loads of other stuff today. I'll think about that tomorrow."
The only thing that you have to do is interact with these people.
Yeah,
so it actually
that becomes your whole world.
Horrifying.
Do people ever? I mean, I don't know. Have you ever seen Midnight Express?
No.
So
I have. Sorry.
Elaine has. So, is there any? Does anything raunchy happen, kind of, in the pods? Are they completely opaque, or can you? Is it like the frosted glass at your front door?
You know, can't see anything.
Oh, right. Okay.
Sometimes they do get really cringe about it, where they're like talking about like.
So no
like,
Midnight Express.
It's all talking, and they're all like, "Oh, I love your voice. It's so sexy." It's all really uncomfortable, to be honest.
Right.
But there's one person on it this season.
Oh, we haven't even got to.
Sorry, that's
not
my sinner.
Is.
My sinner is that there's this woman on it, and I can't remember her name for the life of me. I think it might be a Lauren or something, and she is talking about this tattoo that she has, and she says, "Yes, I've got a tattoo on my shoulder blade, and it says Cinematu, Cinematu." And she's like, "Yeah, it means without fear in Gaelic."
Sorry, what is it again? There,
Cinematu. You might be wondering, that doesn't sound.
It doesn't
Irish.
Sound like Irish.
That's
Latin. It's Latin for without fear. But
where'd you get it?
It's on the Jameson bottle.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes. And she was like, "Oh, Irish whiskey. I guess that means it's Gaelic," which obviously is also not what it's called. It's Gaelge. And she's after getting it permanently put on her back.
Where is it? On her back?
Like between her shoulder blades. And she's telling everyone that it means without fear. I think she should have had like a little bit of fear when she was choosing that, because
I have an
incorrect.
Irish phrase for her. Scarlet for your ma for having you.
For your ma. Put that on your rib cage next.
No.
It's really bad.
And was it, sorry, did anyone reveal it in the house? Or is she still living in kind of...
Yet to see. It was in the first
in
episode
ignorance.
That she said it. She says it to the guy that she's dating, and he's like, "Wow, that's amazing." Obviously, he doesn't know either. And I, like, all I see... like,
probably too much to expect them to know. So,
maybe.
You know.
But you think the tattoo artist might have Googled it.
Yeah,
I think they do. I think they'll just do what they're told.
Yeah.
Because I think there's probably an element there as well where they probably... Not that they don't want to correct people so that they're wrong, but like they probably don't want to be... getting in a fight with a client, you know, over them saying, "No, this is what it means," and then they're kind of in a sticky situation with them, I guess, because they have pointed it out.
I remember watching, what was it, God, I'm trying to think which Olympic Games Kelly Holmes really successful. So it wasn't Beijing. It was possibly Athens, was it? Anyway, but I remember watching on BBC and they went to, like, you know, Kelly Holmes' hometown or whatever it happened to be. And live on TV, someone turned around and showed a back tattoo that they got of Kelly Holmes with Holmes spelled H-O-M-E-S. And like, you could tell whoever was on site just kind of didn't know how to react, so just kind of kept going with it. And they just came back to studio and one of them said, should somebody tell her? And,
was there room to, like, put an L in, do you think?
Well, same way you put an L back in, you know, to your old essay writing in primary school. Like a little,
little arrow
below it and an L above it. Oh, God, it was awful. Kelly Holmes. Good. Anyway, so that's a good sinner of the week. Who then, Elaine, is your sinner of the week?
Mine is also not as much crack. I'm the real dud here. I need to be more fun next time. But my sinner of the week is the Commission for Regulation of Utilities.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no. Sorry, I was about to say, no, you're all right, Elaine. No, yeah, that's a dud.
Yeah, that is a dud.
That's terrible.
The CRU. Excitement at all.
I often say, when is someone going to pick the CRU as a sinner of the week? Why are they your sinner?
In some respects, some people have been happy with the proposal that came out this week, which was on data centres. So people lie in different camps when it comes to what's going on with data centres, the energy demand of them, and how many of them we have here in Ireland. But for people who are in the camp of trying to get more data centres online, they might have been happy with the ruling that came out to say that they can be approved to go back online. They also, to do that, will have to generate enough energy for their own backup. So they can't be relying on the grid for their backup energy generation. And then, you know, that's extra energy that they've generated. They'll then have to feed that back into the grid. So they'll have to provide their own backup and feed that back into the grid. So it seems like a solution that enables more data centres to be established here without compromising the electricity grid. So a kind of industry level compromise. But what's really concerning about this, I think in either camp, whether you want more data centres here or not, what's concerning here is that they have no obligations on their greenhouse gas emissions on that energy generation, which is going to be a problem because that's going to be a lot of energy generation that they can generate through fossil fuel energy. And that's going to have an impact on our climate goals, which we are already getting fines for constantly because we're not achieving them. And even if they go through renewable energies, there's some really interesting research recently from Hannah Daly at UCC, research for Friends of the Earth, that found out that even when they use renewable energy for these stations, for these data centres, they're actually siphoning off all the available renewable energy in that region then. So then there's, like, houses and businesses and stuff like that in Ireland who are trying to achieve these carbon offsetting goals who can't do it because there's no renewable energy left in their region for them to start using. So
that's so
this
scary.
Is not great.
I don't like it. Stop.
We can't just keep adding data centres to the mix and not have these kind of caps in terms of, like, their carbon emissions, stuff like that. And I was literally just saying, like, data centres at CERN are being used in really interesting ways to store the scientific data, and they've got loads of data centres all over the world. So I'm not saying that data centres aren't important and useful, but these data centres, like, they're going to be storing, like, Instagram images that no one ever wants to look up again.
Yeah.
You know, or your cloud backups of pictures that are, like, you know, 200 images from the Pitbull gig and you only wanted two of them. Do you know? I'm not singling you out.
Maybe I'm on 100 of them, but no, you're right. I'm never going to look at them again.
We're all guilty of that in a way.
Yeah,
definitely.
There should be something, we need to work towards something that's called, like, frugal computing and kind of thinking of our data as something that's a bit more physical, that has a footprint, and we don't really think of it like that. We use cloud.
The energy that they need is to cool them predominantly, is it? Or what is it?
And to run them as well. They are massive. Like, a data centre is essentially like a load of computers in a room. Computers without monitors and all the, like, peripherals that we use to interact with computers because they don't need a human interacting with the interface. So it's just like racks and racks and racks of servers and, like, factory warehouse, like, size full of that.
Yeah.
And that's why you need the cooling. But we also need to be able to run them. Now, a huge amount of the energy is from the cooling, and that also, it uses a lot of water as well.
And why then, why would you build them in a kind of a temperate climate like Ireland? Why wouldn't you just put them all up in northern Scandinavia?
Yeah, so Scandinavia actually does have quite a few of them, and it is a popular location for them because of the natural cooling. But Ireland also has a really good location as well when it comes to this stuff, because you also, again, the physical imprint of the stuff, it's not all wireless. It's not all going through the air, guys. It has to go through subsea cables at some point.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, you know, Ireland has good access around that area as well. But we are quite quite far north. Like, even though we don't have the extremes of the Nordic climate, Scandinavian countries and stuff like that, it is a cool climate by comparison to anywhere kind of like lower down on the scale there. So
it seems so easy for the rest of us to ignore, like for me to think, like, I've got thousands of pictures on my phone that I won't be looking at again, and my cloud's full. And I need to buy more cloud storage. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. $1.99 a month. Don't worry about it. Where's it going?
Your cell cloud storage is something that's useful to you. It's like, why? Why is that useful to you?
Yeah.
Why do you need
it? It probably isn't. I've never looked at my
own photos. What would actually be more useful for you would be to be obliged to delete those pictures from your phone that are useful to you and just keep the ones that you actually want.
Oh, do you know what? That would make you actually print off a few photos as well.
As opposed
to being that person who says, like me, God, I must print off a few photos.
I was given
once every 3 months.
A load of printed off photographs this Christmas, and it was one of the most lovely gifts I've ever been given.
Yeah.
It was from my boyfriend. It was loads of trips that we've been on together. He got loads of pictures printed, and I was nearly crying. Like, it was just so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, such a thoughtful thing. And it did take him time. That was a huge investment of his time to go through so many photographs and to pick the ones to get printed. But it was like so touching. And we don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, right. You got there. You know, I wasn't sure when it's the CRU. All right. I'm not sure about this. But anyway, the CRU worthy sitter of the week for that decision.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yeah, Saoirse Hanley and Elaine Burke are both with me for the last bit of the show. Saoirse, 9:30 a.m. weekday exercise classes.
Yeah.
This is a kind of very, very bespoke thing you want to talk
about.
Well,
I'm holding the front page of the paper tomorrow for exactly this. Yes, I am not usually at those, but I was off yesterday and I went to a spin class at like 9:30 in the morning.
Is that your go-to gym class, spin class?
I'm loving a spin. My gym does like an immersive spin class, makes it look like you're like cycling up an alpine mountain.
Oh, wow.
One wall is just screen and it's like an IMAX thing. And,
and are you chasing other people? Are there like avatars on the screen?
Sometimes avatars like cheering you on. Like on the yesterday's course, it was like an alpine ski
There's
resort.
There's always someone in an Offaly jersey.
Is it telling you? Always there waving at me from the ski resort.
At every sporting event.
But they're just
event.
Like these weird, like kind of amorphous kind of people like waving and clapping at you. But I've never seen the cycle room so full. It was absolutely packed, jammers. There is no risk of it being quiet on a Thursday morning. And there's a group of established like mams that go. And I didn't realize this, that they have like, they run a tight ship in that place. So I walked in at like, it was on 9:30. I went in at like 9:10, maybe 9:15 to get my bike reserved, you know, make sure I was in the right spot, make sure I could see the screen, all of that. So I went in and loads of the bikes were already reserved. I say reserved in quotes. There was towels on them, you know, just like stuff.
Germans have got there.
You know, yeah, there was like shoes strewn around them and stuff because everyone changes shoes. Didn't know that either. I wore my usual shoes.
All right.
But their bikes were gone. I was like, where is everybody? This is weird. So I hopped up on a bike and I was like, this is fine. And there was a gaggle of women outside. So I quickly realized that these women that come all the time and they have the same trainer every week. So this woman was standing in for this trainer and was like, guys, I'm so sorry, Rachel's not here. And they were like, oh, and I was like, who is Rachel? What's going on? And so the seat in the bike in front of me had the stuff on it, but there was no one there when the class started. And I was like, this is grand. Class starts, we go on. This woman comes in late. She sits in front with the tallest ponytail you've ever seen. So I couldn't even see the beautiful Alpine ski resort.
Oh, yeah.
But these I discovered later because a friend of mine goes as well. And she told me that this happens every time they do this. They come, they reserve all their bikes. You would not try and wrestle a bike off them in the front row. And then they go outside and have a little chit chat. They come in, they do all their cycling really fast, by the way. And then they all start whooping.
What?
So we're like cycling away and we're like, la la la, and we're all kind of like, you know, dying in the corner and everyone's like, woo!
Well, this is the day after the Pitbull gig.
Well, this is the other thing.
You were actually
I was
dying.
Struggling a little bit. I don't know why I did that to myself.
They started whooping.
Whooping. Someone brought a whistle. A whistle.
Not the trainer, like
an attendee, a fellow cyclist like myself, whooping. And I was so confused. Again, it could be the Pitbull induced hangover that was really clouding my vision. I really didn't feel like I was part of this realm, let alone the cycle class. But like whooping and cheering, and I don't know, is it like a kind of Soul Cycle Americanization thing or what? But it was crazy. It was so intense.
Do people whoop at Soul Cycle?
I think that's kind of, isn't like Soul Cycle kind of like a, you know, you guys are amazing.
Well, it's
you've
a
got
cult
this,
anyway.
Well,
that's all I know about it.
My only knowledge of it is through Broad City. So
yeah, that's where I'm
getting
mine from.
Favorable
no.
view.
But it was crazy. It was an institution. I don't think I'll ever go back to a Thursday morning class.
Did you didn't kind of find yourself a bit aghast at first and then suddenly getting into it? Did you whoop?
I actually tried. It was so embarrassing.
Give us your whoop.
Well, this is what it sounded like, right? So bearing in mind, I'm also breathing very heavily. So I'm like,
okay. Was that it?
Yes.
Go on, do it again. We missed it.
Woo. Because I couldn't commit. I was so mortified for myself. I was for my man.
I'm mortified. I can't believe you did it.
I know. And I was like, I wish I could be as free as these women, but I'm not.
Wait, you booked a 9:30 spin class the day after a gig.
That's what Elaine is.
I know, guys. I'm sorry. My membership costs a lot. I need to get the most out of my classes. I don't know if I could do it again. I don't know if I have the strength. I am tempted though.
Had you still got the bald cap on?
I still had the line on my head from the bald cap, and I probably still had a bit of mustache. Like it was dire. I was sweating margaritas.
The whoopers were all talking about that afterwards. Did you notice like three of the girls there had bald caps on and penciled mustaches?
That girl like really smelled of lime. I don't know what was going on. It was crazy.
Anyway, all right, okay. So that's the 9:30 weekday exercise class. TikTok and X, is that what you want to talk about?
So there's I'm just being Captain Bringdown over here.
We need balance.
There was a report this week from Global Witness who had research that said that they examined researched like three accounts on each platform between TikTok, X and Instagram through their algorithmic feeds and found a far right slant in the content that was being recommended to these brand new neutral accounts. Now, always these experiments are done the same way. Like they'll get good headlines, but they're done in a way where, like I said, they set up three accounts on each profile and they also followed. They tried to create a environment that didn't signal any one political affiliation. So to do that, they followed. This was studying specifically accounts in Germany. They followed all of the leading German political parties because there's an election coming up there. Okay. Weekend.
Yeah, the idea being if you just followed the CDU, obviously the algorithm's going to start
feeding
you. Yeah,
you're giving it a signal that that's what you're interested in. And we've seen this all the time. So the same way when they do these kind of studies around what content is getting recommended to young people on these platforms, and they like say that Manosphere content comes up really often and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that this isn't an issue at all. I'm just saying that this experiment design, it isn't necessarily telling you any more than that the algorithm is working as we've kind of understood them to work, in that it's serving up content based on your interactions. And if the volume of content skews one way and you haven't given a signal one way or the other, then it's probably going to give you a piece of content from what is a massive base. So what I'm saying there is a huge amount of Manosphere content online, a huge amount of it. Okay. A lot of it is all replicated as well. So you talk about taking down the accounts of certain people. Mm. It kind of doesn't really end it because that content has been replicated so much. Like Andrew Tate isn't the only one sharing Andrew Tate videos. You know, loads of other copycat accounts just kind of publish that stuff. And it's the same for a lot of like AfD content, which is the far right party in Germany. And a lot of far right content is kind of replicated like that because they're very, very active online, these groups. Mm. But from my understanding of how algorithms work, if there's this amount of content like this online, we are all going to get recommended at some point.
I wrote a piece about that where I tried to make a blank account and just see like how long it would take for stuff to come up. It didn't take very long for things to come up. Like there was, I wanted to see how quickly, it might have been around the time of our election last year, I think it was. And I wanted to see how quickly that would happen. And like that, it was happening very quickly. But now I actually feel like this is, no, I feel debunked in a good way, because it is a good point that there was, for every like, you know, in quote, like unsavory thing that I saw, like there was lots of it. So there was always going to be more of that. I was really trying not to interact at all so that it would just, I wanted to see what it would continue to feed.
And did you also get things like, did you get a lot of animal videos?
I did get a few at first, like
there's
cats
a lot
and dogs.
Of animal content online. So you're going to get animal videos. Did you get a lot of...
They want to turn us into far-right animals.
Oddly satisfying type of content, like was colour mixing or people doing things,
not too
like
much,
drawing
but
things,
ironically, I get a lot of that in my own algorithms. I love those videos.
Because a lot of that content exists online, chances are if you set up like a new, like unidentifiable account with no signals set, like you will start getting recommended the stuff that's already popular on that platform. So what we're getting signaled by this is like what's already on these platforms and what's really popular there. Like I would describe this kind of like far right Manosphere content as profitable, prolific and popular.
Mm.
And that's actually one of the problems.
I suspect that's something actually we might talk about again on the show, because that's really interesting. Yeah. Elaine, thank you. Saoirse, thank you as well. Elaine Burke, presenter of the Out for Tech's Sake podcast. Saoirse Hanley, columnist with the Irish Independent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.